Welcome to The Astroholic Explains. I'm your host, Chris.
And I'm Alfredo, the Astroholic.
This is a podcast where I throw some cosmic conundrums your way.
And I try my best to answer them. Let's get started.
Right, are you ready for today's question?
I have no idea.
I am not ready for today's question.
Oh, God.
I'm apologizing in advance.
Who should we stop being friends online with?
So this comes from Alexander DL over in Singapore.
Okay.
He asks, if you had to defend Flat Earth, how would you start?
Oh, Alex.
I don't like this question. I absolutely loathe the concept of Flat Earth. Actually, no, I don't loathe the concept of Flat Earth. I just can't stand what it's become in social media, and are people trolling? Are they being serious? Are they for real? I think some people are for real, unfortunately.
Okay.
But this we have to talk about if we had to start defending it.
All right.
Sorry, I'll calm down.
Yes, so this is The Astroholic Explains, not producer Chris Rant. No, I'm... Okay, I have a few ideas on defending them.
Go on.
First of all, they believing that the Earth is flat doesn't hurt anyone.
I think this is more along the lines of if you had to defend the concept, not the people.
Ah, okay. Because I was...
We're not doing that.
No, we can defend the people as well.
Mm.
To be honest, if I need to pick between flat earthers and anti-vaxxer, flat earthers. Pick between flat earthers and climate change deniers, flat earthers.
Mm.
So, their beliefs that the Earth is flat might be silly, but at least they're not hurting anyone. So, yes, make fun of them, but remember who are the real villains with blood on their hands. So, how to defend
the ideas
of flat Earth.
So,
okay.
What I'm thinking, from the things that I've read over the years, God, it really has been years, they think that, yes, the world is flat. They think that in order to explain what happens with the sun is just going around. I can't remember exactly how high up in the sky it is rotating around the world and sort of only casting light upon one part of the world at a time.
Yeah, but it's also the sun must be a spotlight in that scenario.
Yeah.
And we had a wonderful, wonderful talk by Joby, is at Jobium on Twitter, who works for NASA, in which he simulated what the sun would look like on a flat Earth. And it's hilarious because it's definitely not what happens. So I would focus on a few different things to be the devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm. This entire episode is just being devil's advocate.
So what are the most obvious things that you can point out about, obviously, the Earth being a sphere? Something that people can experience regularly.
Horizon?
Yeah, you can say the horizon, and even when you are on planes, that is the ultimate limit. So, I would say, you just claim that the haziness of the atmosphere stops you from seeing far away.
Okay.
And seriously, Alex, if this ends up being on some stupid flat earthers website, and then I need to write a blog post about...
Do you want to just do a disclaimer right here and now?
No,
about what you think is real and what you think is not real?
Well, the Earth is an oblate spheroid. We can approximate it to a sphere. It's a globe. There's no such thing as a flat Earth. That's the disclaimer. So you want, but if you want to teach or preach the controversy, you want to build on people assumption and people biases.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is, again, I'm sure I've mentioned it in previous episodes, it's this weird current climate we have where people are distrustful of scientists. And I think that's been fueled by a lot of things that are politically happening. But people don't believe what they don't see. And I think that would be my contribution to this, would be if I had to defend the concept of there being an edge of the world. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that they think Antarctica goes in a rim all the way around the world.
Yeah.
Which is guarded by a fleet of ships from the UN. Stopping people reaching this edge of the world because they don't want people to know the truth. I've never been there. I've never been to Antarctica. Maybe it is real. Maybe there is an edge. I think that would be my sort of...
No, but you see, you can also work with that. So, first of all, I want to put another disclaimer. We've been saying people have, they don't believe what they don't see. That's true, but I want for everyone to be clear that everyone has biases. And scientists are not immune from biases. So don't think that because I am trying to challenge biases of flat earthers that I don't have my own, and some I know that I have, some I might not even recognize. Given that a little disclaimer of always check your own biases, let's go and explore how would I justify scientifically that there is a wall in Antarctica. Again, Alex, I'll hold you personally responsible if I need to write about this and disprove it at some point in the future. So, there's always been in the Discworld interpretation of the Earth that you have that waterfall at the edge with water coming off the sides of our planet.
It's very cinematic.
Very cinematic. But we are assuming that somehow there is the contact point between our planet, our flat planet, and space. And space is very cold. So it would just make sense that the water of the ocean just freezes on the rim, creating a wall of ice,
okay,
keeping the water in. So you don't even have to justify where is the water coming from and why it's not all running off the sides.
Okay.
Yes,
that's, for a flat earth mythos, that is logical.
It's not mythos, would be the scientific explanation. Like, you cannot work out why the atmosphere holds on to the flat earth, but ice on the border...
I'm not sure if it's anything to do with the atmosphere, but I think people have asked, in terms of gravity at least, with the earth spins and there's the entire the gravity spiel that happens in science. Let's not go into that right now. But within the flat earth theory, I think the flat earth is moving upwards at such a rate that everything is just staying on top of it. Everything is sort of basically glued by the force of it moving upwards.
Interesting.
So if you try and jump up, you are pushed back down. You're not being pulled back down by gravity. I think you're being pushed back down by the force of the world moving upwards.
So by acceleration.
I think that's the theory.
That is... it's genius. No, I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because that is general relativity. One of the things in general relativity is Einstein realizing... I am impressed about...
Einstein's theory of flat earth.
No, but one of the things in general relativity is Einstein realizing that we cannot tell the difference between being in a gravitational field and being in an accelerated system. So if you're in a closed lift and you are being accelerated in the empty space, or you are in a disclosed lift in a gravitational field,
yeah,
you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Okay.
And it's not just you, Chris Carpinetti, in this lift, like, oh my god, what's happening? It's literally...
offensive.
No, but it's literally the... we don't have a way to measure the difference. There is nothing special from it, which makes it complicated because we think there should be way to measure it with particle physics, maybe, but we don't have that theory yet, so we cannot work it out. So the fact that they use acceleration to justify gravity, it's fascinating. Because if you had the gravity of a thin disk is a mess, you would have gravity in the sort of center of the Earth geographical. So somewhere, oh, actually, probably somewhere in off the coast of the Democratic Republic of Congo, because you need to be in...
Wait, for a flat Earth?
Yeah,
I think with a flat Earth, though, it's everything is wrapped around the center. So if you think of the UN flag,
yes,
the center would be North Pole, I think.
Yes, no, I think you're right, because the edges are the South Pole. So at the North Pole, you would have the most gravity.
Yeah.
Which would be, so it means that if you're like in Australia, you will be like jumping off and seriously don't trip or anything, or you'll slam onto the wall of Antarctica.
You say that, but I don't think they think Australia is real.
But there are Australian flat earthers, which is hilarious.
I think maybe they think that they live in South America and they've just been tricked. I don't know, I might be mixing up two different theories here, but I know that there is a theory that Australia isn't real. It's just a cutaway part of South America filled with actors telling people that that is Australia.
Yeah, there was this, one of the flat earthers saying that. But yeah, so you see, there are, how would you justify it? You just, you want to build on people on biases? Obviously, it's easy to tell people. Look at it historically, it's easy to tell people that the sun goes around the earth rather than the earth goes around the sun, because you see the sun moving in the sky. It's when you scratch the surface of things that you can actually challenge those things. And I think it's not so much the case for flat earthers, but of all the other conspiracy theories that have a real impact on the world. That is the complicated thing. People don't see viruses and bacteria, but they see a doctor injecting children with something.
Mm.
And if you tell people like, oh, look at all the ingredients, they all have weird names, they all have complicated stuff, they'll certainly worry, oh, what are the effects on my children? And anti-vaxxers, they want to, most of the outspoken anti-vaxxers, they're just out there trying to make money out of the fear of parents. Of course they're gonna play on that. Climate change deniers are not random people in the streets saying, oh, it's not true. They are people that have lots of money. They're
invested interests in fossil fuels.
Yeah. And they stand to make a buck for convincing as many people as possible that what's happening is not happening. Hence why I feel that flat earthers are the least of our worries. But if we were to be on their side and try to build up a scientific consensus, is definitely giving the public an idea that can relate to. Why can't you see stuff away on the horizon? Is because of haziness. Why is there a wall of ice around Antarctica? Is because the water of the ocean is touching space, so it's very cold. And I absolutely love the fact that they use general relativity equivalents.
I think they do, yeah, that upwards motion.
Well, if they don't, they should, because it's genius to explain gravity.
Well, I guess we will soon know one way or another what lies beyond the far reaches of the snowy wall of Antarctica, since a group of flat earthers are intending a trip there to see what they can find. So that should be quite interesting. I would watch that. If they document that, I would watch that.
I would watch that too, but you see, it's like so many times people say, oh, we should just grab the flat earthers and take them into space.
Yeah.
But I was like, I want to go into space. I want to appreciate our beautiful global world. Why should we send somebody that doesn't even care that about the truth? So no, send me to space, not the flat earthers.
Okay, I think that's enough for this particular one.
Okay,
I think I've had enough thinking that way for one day, and I think I'm gonna move swiftly on to another question.
All right.
This question comes from MV Piazza, mm-hmm. asking, thoughts on the positioning of the constellations when you're born?
Okay, so this episode is about
going for all of the things that annoy Alfredo.
Yes. So, astrology. Very simply, astrology is nonsense. The position of the constellation when you're born and position of the planets have no influence on your life whatsoever. And it is as simple as that. I could rant about astrology, but I don't know, it's very complicated at the moment. There is definitely a resurgence of astrology in social media.
Do you think it ever wasn't there?
I think that for a while it was very much...
Are you sure you just hadn't muted them?
No, it's just looking at how people interact with astrology. There is so many apps and so many memes.
Yeah, memes
I think it's there is not a general resurgence in terms of people studying it. I think there is a lot of a resurgence in people trying to capitalize from either money or social media kudos.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you want to be involved in the conversation. And
I think that's the thing about it, is that it, according to its own rules, it applies to everyone, so everyone should take notice.
Yes.
Allow me for a moment to, again, play devil's advocate for this.
Okay.
There is, I hear tell of the influence the moon has upon the waves.
Yes.
So you have this body in the sky that is affecting fluids
mm-hmm.
on the ground. Does the moon affect the liquids in our body? Does it affect the blood? Does it affect other things? Do the stars affect us in a physical way?
No. So, the moon and the sun affect us because we are natural beings. So evolution brought us to deal with the two bright things in the sky in certain ways. But the question that I can pose to you is, how much influence do you have on the moon?
Absolutely none. Hopefully it likes me. I don't know.
Wow, you are insecure even with the moon. What did the moon say?
Tell it I like it. I think it's pretty.
Okay, I will when I go. So, it's Newton's third law of dynamics. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So, the moon has a tiny, tiny gravitational force on you. But you have the same tiny, tiny gravitational force on it.
And because it's so much bigger, it does even less?
No, it's the fact that they are bigger, like, the Earth as a whole is the thing the moons care about, and then there's the sun. It's just we are negligible, which is something that I guess no one likes to hear that we're negligible. But also when it comes to astrology, you're believing that the entire positioning of the universe, or at least the visible universe, is there for you to just tell if today you're gonna have salad or not, or if you're going to meet somebody attractive. Tall, dark stranger. It's
fate. It's the concept of fate. I think to believe in astrology by its rules implies a belief in fate, that everything is written, everything is predetermined.
I think it's, and guess it comes very hypocritical for me, say that it's extremely arrogant that you believe that all these stars and planets are just there to justify, I don't know, your mood swings. And I think that is
I know what you mean.
You can believe whatever you want, and at the end of the day, I shouldn't care what you believe. But if you're out there on social media being rude and say, oh, it's because Mercury is in retrograde. And trust me, you don't know what retrograde means, because retrograde means that it's literally moving backwards. So if you believe that Mercury is in retrograde, you believe that Mercury was going forward around the sun, then decided to stop, move backwards for a bit, and then goes forward again.
Devil's advocate again. Yeah. In terms of this, when astronomers
mm-hmm.
used to watch the sky and they would plot out the paths of the stars and the planets, did they not at any point look like they were going one way and then go the other way?
No, the planets do that, but they look like it. So unless you believe
Is that not what's being implied by retrograde?
But you're saying that by believing that Mercury is in retrograde, you're saying that you believe that the planets and the sun are
actually doing it, rather than rotating
around the Earth.
Okay.
And something that I found particularly ugly is the amount of preconception, sometimes even hate, for certain signs and hating on a group of people because of the month of the year they're born.
So like, ugh, typical Leo doing blah blah blah.
Yeah, or there's Gemini, or you can't trust Cancer. And just like, do we really need to put more hate on social media? Especially based on something that people cannot control? And I just find it, you know, like go for silly stuff like, I don't know, I have silly memes going like, oh, all Aquarius, look at it every time they see a mirror, they check them out. And I don't know, it's full disclosure, I was born on February 19th, so depending on your interpretation, I'm Aquarius or Pisces. So I am literally thinking of something that I constantly do, walking in front of a mirror and check myself out. So that could be something silly, it's harmless.
You also like seafood.
Oh, because I'm a Pisces.
Well, it's either Pisces or Aquarius, yeah. And they're both watery. And you were born near the sea.
I was born near
and
the sea.
You like seafood.
But Aquarius technically is an air sign.
Well, that makes no sense.
Well, it carries the water. Anyway, beside that...
Well, it has the word aqua in it.
Yeah, it's the water bearer.
Oh, the sign is the person carrying the jugs of water.
Yes.
But it's still water.
Anyway. So, make silly memes,
don't make hateful ones.
Don't make hateful ones, yes. And, again, if you think that, oh, but maybe there is some truth in it, there is some things that we might not know, I will tell you this thing. Astrology is being known and used, in quotation marks, for thousands of years. If there was any truth behind it, don't you think that ruthless capitalism would not employ it to, well, make money, exploit people, etc.? So...
They do.
Really, tell me which... They exploit it as an end, but not as a mean. They don't consult the horoscope to decide what
to... I thought you meant like,
what to invest. No, yeah, it's an end, not a mean.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So, by saying that you believe in astrology, you claim that capitalism is not ruthlessly profit-driven.
That's an interesting take. I've never thought of that one.
Yeah, it's...
How do you know they're not? How do you know behind the scenes there's not all of these...
Yes, they're investing in...
psychics working in their board office meetings saying, oh, you shouldn't put all that money into that one today. Mercury's in retrograde, you're going to lose all that.
God, again, MV Piazza, if I'm getting people starting doing a stock market prediction, actually, to be honest, do stock market prediction on astrology, lose your money, see if I care.
Okay, I think we're going to leave it there for today on controversial questions, at least for the Astroholic.
All right.
And we'll be back next time with probably another space question for you.
Well, I like some space question, thank you.
Okay, well,
but thank you for the questions. I enjoyed answering them.
We had fun today. Do you have any burning questions for the Astroholic? If so, send them in to me at Illucifer on Twitter, and I will spring it on him in an upcoming episode. See you next time.